neighbours. Welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. This is episode 25 of season 2. Today, you'd best buckle up, because we're heading up the Great Northern Peninsula. Or maybe I should say down the Great Northern Peninsula. It depends on what generation you come from or where your starting point may be. But just turn off at Deer Lake and head on to Route 430 and expect adventure. We're heading for the land of roadside gardens, of self-provisioning, the land of rough food. That was a term a resident of Conch, Meg, used with anthropologist and author John Omohundro. It refers to your staples, your winter's diet, the things you've got in the fall to see you through till spring. John was so impressed with that term that he called his book about food on the Northern Peninsula Rough Food, which shouldn't be confused with food that has roughage.
We salt them, we bottle them, we dry them, and then we do cornfish as well. We bottle fish.
Do you do that?
And we use it for fish stew, We bottle moose.
Moose.
We bottle rabbit, and we can rabbits.
Well, I think the land is good, but it's the climate is probably not conducive to it. It's cold.
I go and get salt water and put out over my cabbage.
From the ocean.
Just from the ocean.
Keep
slugs.
Hold the bugs away.
The slugs away.
Hard work and there's very little pay. First 4 months you're here with zero income.
Past the Southeast Hills, the impressive Killdevil Mountain, the iconic and lonely Grossmorne Mountain, the postcard images of communities like Norris Point and Rocky Harbor, past the salt marshes of St. Paul's, there's a great hike there, by the way, and we come to Cow Head. Like most visitors here, at some point you'll make your way to the head, which is across a gravel isthmus. But just before the isthmus, look to your right. You'll see a dandy garden braced against the winds off the ocean. This is the garden of Eura Curtis and Marcel McLean. I met them in Norris Point through a friend. I had a great chat, kind of invited myself over to look at their garden, and now here we are. It's a grand October day with a broad open sky and a breeze to match. Eura is our guide for the most part. Marcel is not as interested in talking, at least when the microphone is on, but we'll hear him join in occasionally.
You're in Cowhead, Grossmorne National Park.
There's a little breeze on today. Is this normal?
Yes, we have had a lot. We have had a lot of wind this summer.
And your garden here is a bit more protected.
Yeah, but you see all those little things we have around there, all this plastic put around to keep the wind. Yeah.
When did this garden start?
30 years ago.
30 years ago.
At least.
Was it always this big?
No. Every year we expand.
So it started off as just a sort of an idea. You have a bit of a kitchen garden here or something like that?
Yes.
Yep. And it worked out okay?
Oh, yes.
What sort of things do you grow?
We grow potatoes, turnip, carrot, cabbage, onions, tomatoes, basically, and beets.
And beets. And
you've got some strawberries.
And the tomatoes are in a little greenhouse you made yourself, I guess.
Yes.
Yep. So you're in a place where a lot of tourists go out to the head. We're right close to the head. Do people stop and look at your garden in the summer?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Yes, we get a lot of comments on our gardens.
What do they ask you? Like,
what kind of gardens we're growing?
Yeah.
They say, you got a beautiful garden here. Oftentimes they go away with something in their hand from
the
garden.
You know, the big thing is it's hard to find good soil sometimes here. What kind of soil? Where did you get that soil that's
in
there?
We inherited that piece of land after my mom passed away.
Okay,
And it was sort of humps and bumps in it. So ordered some fill for to level it off.
Yeah.
And when the fill came, Marcel said, I don't think we're going to level that off from grass. We're going to sow some potatoes in there.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So we sowed some potatoes, and then the next year we sowed some small seeds and grew from there.
So the soil was too good to just level it off and make a lawn. And you haven't regretted that?
I can't say it's less work.
I don't suppose.
If we had the lawn, we would mow the lawn. But
once every couple of weeks, that's right.
By putting the vegetables there, it wasn't less work.
But you don't have to buy many potatoes of a year, probably.
Oh, gosh,
So you grow enough potatatoes for your consumption ever?
For us and all the neighbors.
And all the neighbors, I see. And turnip? You have a lot of turnips there.
Yeah, we do. Now, we don't harvest the turnip until November. I've heard the saying from my mother that they get sweeter as the frost get them. So we leave them in until we get the first frost. Sweet turnip.
Yep. And they'll last over through several frosts anyway, so it doesn't hurt them.
Oh, yeah.
It's like they're in the refrigerator there, basically. Sorry. You grew up in Cowhead, is that right?
Yes.
Did you have a garden when you were growing up?
Yes, my father had one right here, actually.
Oh, right here. Right here. So right where we're standing.
Where our house is.
Okay. Yeah. What would he grow? Same things?
Same things, same things? Yeah.
And that was normal then, though, when you were growing up, that everybody had a garden?
My dad and my grandfather grew vegetables here as well.
Yeah. Did you have any animals?
Cows.
Cowhead, after all.
My grandmother had three cows.
Milk cows?
Milk cows, yeah.
And I suppose you did a fair bit of fishing back then, too, like for your own food.
We do now. My dad started out as a fisherman, but then he became ill, went into the sanitarium for about a year. And when he came out, he couldn't fish as well. So he started a business. Small confectionery store down the road.
Oh, yeah.
And then they had one in St. Paul's as well.
Okay. But now you fish a fair bit. Like, as I understand, summer you were...
the food fishery.
We
just bought a fishing boat.
Well, you bought a fishing boat.
Fishing boat last year.
Well, you're right into it now, then.
So every weekend we go up further up north.
Okay.
Where the fishing is better. And we fish up there.
Yeah. That's up... Is it Green Island?
Green Island Cove.
Cove, yeah.
That's Marcel's home.
The skin boot capital of the island.
Yeah. Actually, there's a skin boot church up there somewhere.
Oh, is there?
Yes, and then when I went up, I wanted to see the skin boot church. I thought it was made out of skin boots.
That's what I'd think, too, by the name.
They sold enough skin boots to build the church. So they called it the skin boot church.
And so the fishing is better there. Are the fish are better quality?
Bigger fish.
Oh, bigger fish.
And they don't have the worms in the fish.
They don't have worms.
No?
You salt them?
Well, we salt them, we bottle them, we salt them and dry them, and then we do cornfish as well.
How do you do that? You just put it in salt
just for about 3 hours and take it out, bag it, and put it in your fridge. When you do the dry fish, you put that in for 2 or 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
And you take it out and you dry it in the sun.
So it's like lightly salted fish or something. So do you get enough, like this year, that you'll be able to eat fish, you know, through the winter and spring?
Oh, most definitely.
Oh, I see. Are you getting tired of them by now?
Yes. More so when we're up north, because if we go out 3 days and we catch fish, we might have fish for 3 days in a row.
And up there, too, like here as well, when I first came here many years ago, I was really impressed by the gardens on the sides of the roads.
We have a garden on the side of the
road.
Up in Daniels Harbor.
In Daniels Harbor. Oh, in that kind of new section on the north part of the town or whatever. Yeah.
We just grow potatoes there. And we have another potato garden in my cabin in back of Battle.
So you have this garden plus two others.
Yes.
Somewhere. But they're potato gardens.
They're potato gardens.
So you grow potatoes here, too. You must have a lot of potatoes here.
Got 27 5-gallon buckets this year.
Oh, I see. And what kind of potatoes are those?
Blue Pride.
Gold Rush. So are there still roadside gardens, but are there more up Green Island Cove area? And
further north you go. From Daniels Harbor up, you'll start seeing the roadside.
So I'm sure there's an etiquette on that. Like, I can't take somebody else's garden the following year, can I?
Well, you might get in trouble.
Yeah,
somebody did that one year.
Oh, really?
They planted somebody's garden, but the guy who had it there in the beginning went and dug the potatoes.
It's only fair.
And says, thanks for planting my potatoes.
Well, some of those up Mainbrook and so on, they're pretty nice gardens. Like they keep in pretty good care of that. And the reason why was it because that was where there was good soil after they built the road, put the hydro through?
And some people had it. Shortage of land, probably didn't have any land around their houses, so they took the opportunity when they left the side of the road.
Yeah. Would you have to ask anybody before you put a garden on the side of the road? Or?
Well, we didn't.
Apparently not.
We didn't.
Crown land.
It's crown land, so nobody should complain about that. So do you get some salt spray coming off on a windy day coming from there? Like, does that affect the garden at all?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Doesn't affect it.
No. I go and get salt water and put it over my cabbage.
Oh, no, you do.
From the ocean.
To keep the slugs away.
Yeah.
And does it work?
Oh, yeah. And we'd use the kelp from the ocean.
From the ocean as well. And that's got a bit of salt in it. Yeah. Yeah. And it's also a little bit seasoned than your cabbage. You got a bit of salt in it when you get
maybe that's what lasts in the garden.
That's why it gets washed out.
That's right. Yeah, that's true. You get a bit of rain.
Because usually he waits for when it's going to rain, he'll do it before rain so it washes it out.
How about like capelin or fish? Do you ever use that in a garden here?
No, Marcel says
not anymore.
Too many gulls and crows.
They'll dig your garden.
Yeah, you bury a capelin, they'll just try to dig up the seed.
Okay.
What kind of music do you listen to? If I can put a little piece of music behind this, what should I put on?
Country.
Country.
Country music. music.
Newfoundland country?
Yeah.
Does it have to have an accordion in it?
Oh, yeah.
There's some good performers from around here.
Danielle played.
Yeah, Danielle recorded some accordion players in St. Paul's in here.
Yes. I've got that tape, actually.
Yeah. Well, that would be a good thing.
Very good.
Do either of you play?
No. Well, not music a lot of.
I like music, but I can't.
He loves music. Yes, he does that all the time.
Luke Payne of Cowhead with a tune he learned from his father. It's called Peter Reel's Tune. It's from a CD of accordion music from the Great Northern Peninsula. It's called The Four Stops, put together by musician and teacher Danielle Payne, who is also from Cowhead. So let's head back to that community where Joyce and I are in conversation with Ura Curtis and Marcel McLean, standing in their oceanside garden.
Do you have to do much weeding here? Do you have any weeds?
Yeah. We don't get the chickweed like further north. They really get the lots of chickweed, but we're blessed with that. We just get the big grasses.
Yeah.
What you call the stinging needles. And this
The nettles, and you can get that out pretty easily. Yeah. Back in the day, did people use some of those things for teas or medicines?
I never heard of the stinging needles, but my mother said they used to pick the dandelions.
Did they? Yeah. And they'd eat them as a salad, like a green salad.
Yeah. They make wine.
Yeah, you make wine out of the roots or out of the...
Dandelions, out of the flower, I mean.
Out of the flowers, okay. Yeah. So, like, is there kind of a resurgence or reemergence of gardens in these communities here?
Not right here in this area, actually. Yeah. There's not too many people.
Yeah. And animals, too? Like, are there more chickens around?
There are a few families here that do have chickens.
Yeah. There's a bit of sheep on the way in, but there weren't a lot of sheep in Cowhead, I understand.
No, but that family there have had sheep ever since I can remember. The guy that got them, his father had them, and then the grandfather had them, and they've had them all up through the years.
Yeah. So further north, there's more sheep, isn't there? Like, traditionally, people had sheep. Daniels Harbor and north?
Daniels Harbor.
Yeah.
Not further up. Further up towards St. Anthony.
Wasn't that many years ago, you could see them walking on the road when you go up Daniels Harbor. Now,
yes,
not
and
anymore,
they used to have a...
there was a donkey
a pasture. Or something.
There was a donkey to keep
and
the coyotes away.
What was it? A little goat there.
A little goat there. Marcel had to come to with him one day.
Oh, I see.
He was just a little tiny thing, and he was coming after Marcel, and Marcel just got onto his horns.
And ponies. I guess people had ponies back then, too.
Ponies in Parsons Pond.
Parsons Pond, okay.
There's a new foal this year.
Okay. So there's still a few around.
Newfoundland pony.
Yeah. So next year, is there something different you're going to grow in the garden?
I don't know. You spoke about parsnips the other day.
Yeah, we were talking about parsnips because that grows really well in cold weather.
Yeah.
Grow like carrots.
Both that same size, but it takes longer. Like carrots are slow anyway, but parsnips are even slower.
Are they really?
You can overwinter actually. Yeah. Did you grow parsnips or eat parsnips?
My mother loved them, but I never wanted to try them. I didn't like the look of them. They look like roots from the tree.
Do you think you grow most of your food? What percentage of your food do you grow here?
We still have vegetables in our fridge when we start sowing them in the spring. We don't buy any vegetables at the store. And the secret, and I only found this out a few years ago, was to get your carrots, clean them, dry them off, wrap them in saran wrap, and then wrap them in foil and put them in the bottom of your house fridge. And they'll stay there all winter. The potatoes, you just got a little area in the garage.
You got to keep it just ball freezing.
Almost like a root cellar there.
Yeah, it's like a root cellar. The garage is not heated, so...
Do you do any bottling of anything? Or?
I bottle turnip greens. Well, I try my hand at growing peas. I only got enough to make two bottles of peas. But I got a few more this year. I haven't got them done yet.
Yeah.
Tomatoes?
We bottle beets. No, beets? I did... One year I did salsa.
Do you do any bottled fish at all? Or
we bottle fish.
Do you do that?
We use it for fish stew, We bottle moose. We bottle rabbit. And we can rabbits. canned mousse, too.
So what do you buy at the grocery store?
Not much. Butter and sugar.
Flour.
Flour, yeah. And chicken. Right.
What's your favorite Newfoundland food?
Jig's dinner.
Jig's dinner. With your own vegetables, I guess.
Yeah. I'd say Marcel's going to say fish. Codfish.
Codfish. And how prepared? Like salt fish?
Anyway. Probably my favorite.
Well, thanks for showing me around and letting us see your place. It's wonderful. And no wonder people stop. Are there any moments where you say, this is a lot of work, like at the beginning of the spring?
Not really.
It's only work if you don't enjoy it.
Well, that's true, isn't it? That's right.
Yeah.
So
that's why I look at it. Yeah, anything I enjoy is not work.
What's not to enjoy about gardening, right?
Exactly.
When he wants to take a rest, he saws up wood.
Chops wood. There's a good way to take a break.
Well, the way I grew up is, okay, while you're having a break, you can bring in a wheelbarrow full of wood.
Yeah, yeah, right. If you have time on your hands, you might as well use them.
You're right.
Well, thanks again. Yeah, I'll just turn this off.
Kevin Bennett of St. Paul's, which is just a bit south of Eura and Marcel's place. That was something Kevin learned from his grandfather. A big thanks to our first guests for today, Eura Curtis and Marcel McLean. Actually, we were the guests in their garden, and with true hospitality, we left their place with fresh fish, salt fish, and some potatoes. For the next interview, we head further up or down the peninsula, almost to St. Anthony, about 10 or so kilometers this side, but we drop in on farmer Cal Nicholas. It's mid-October. He's finishing his turnip harvesting. The thing is, this interview was recorded in 2015 for an earlier community radio program, but the pace of change is slow. I likely could have done a similar interview with him this fall. Cal knows well the old Grenfell traditions around food production. His father worked in their gardens in St. Anthony. I've always found it intriguing that the Grenfell organization long ago had the insight that a hospital needed to be able to feed its patients, and generally with local food. Alas, we don't see that kind of vision happening anywhere these days, not even close.
Well, it's a crisp morning here out on the farm. Very crisp, and I'm here with Cal Nicholas. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
So we're here on a field. I can hear the turnips being cut in the background. A little bit of wind here in the microphone. You have one of the few farms here in the St. Anthony region. How did this come about? How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing it since I retired from teaching in 1998. I wanted something to do to occupy my time, so
yeah.
My father had a small place cleared here where he grew his own vegetables.
Yep.
Since the 60s, so I just expanded on it and gave myself something to do.
Did you grow up, you were helping within the garden, so you learned your skills from him?
Yes, yep. I did. He worked with the Grenfell Mission growing vegetables. That was his job. He grew up in the orphanage in St. Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
And while growing up, they all had to work at something, and he worked at the farming for with a guy named Jimmy Tucker, and he was an expert at farming.
Tell me a bit about the Grenfell. I mean, I've heard about the gardens they had and the greenhouses and so on. How much were they growing at that time?
Well, they grew enough to export some to parts of the Labrador and keep the hospital going at the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Grenfell he was a visionary. I mean, he used to pick certain people. Person for agriculture, a person for engineering, a person for this, a person for that, and send them away and learn the trade and come back and teach the locals.
Yeah.
So my father was one of the locals that was taught under Jimmy Tucker to grow vegetables and how to treat them and how to grow vegetables in the greenhouses, and I sort of learned a little bit from him.
Yeah. Now when you talk to people about agriculture in Newfoundland, especially in the Northern Peninsula,
they kind of get a doubtful look in their eyes about whether it's possible. What's the secret? Is it good land?
Well, I think the land is good, but it's the climate is probably not conducive to it. It's it's cold, but they say that the cold crops like turnip, carrot, mm-hmm. and cabbage grow better in a cool climate anyway. So, mm-hmm. I've had pretty good results here, but. The last 5 years has been a lot of dry weather. We've had to water stuff by hand, and this year has been really cold. Cold July. Crops weren't that great this year, especially the carrots. Mm-hmm. Carrots got hit really bad with the cold weather this year.
So what crops do you grow here?
I grow the Jig's Dinner material.
Okay, yep.
Cabbage, carrot, turnip, and potatoes. That's what most people ask for.
You need a few cattle, and then you can have the whole Jig's Dinner. Man. That's right.
That's right. You get the odd person that comes in and asks for broccoli, and I grow a little bit for my own self, but I don't grow it on a commercial basis because there's no big demand for it.
Okay. So do you sell it all locally, pretty much?
Everything is sold from the farm, and I got a convenience store in St. Anthony that sells some, and some to the co-op store in St. Anthony, and Henderson's store in Cooks Harbor. So, but most of it, 90% of it is sold from the farm itself, from the road front.
So are there other people around? I mean, food security, they talk about it these days, or growing your own food is big with young people. Are there people interested in setting up in the region?
I haven't heard of much interest. I mean, it's hard work, and there's very little pay. I mean, you're not going to get much out of this. I don't know if you could make a living out of it. If I were depending on this for a living, I don't know if I could do it or not. But where I'm not depending on it for a living, I can take a bit of a hit now and then, right?
Well, there's the old joke about farmer winning a lottery, and they said, what are you going to do? And he said, I guess I'll farm till it's gone. So you've been doing this for a while, full-time. You find some secrets in terms of kinds of turnips, the kind of seed varieties. Do you sort of fool around with that a little bit? Or
I have fooled around with the turnips especially. There's a lot of club root in the ground in northern Newfoundland. I think maybe all over Newfoundland, but especially down here. The ground down in northern Newfoundland is very acidic because of the type of trees that grow around it, spruce and fir trees, and you have to add a lot of lime to it. And if you get the disease in club root in turnips, it takes years to get rid of it. And I have been growing a special turnip down here, the green turnip, as you can see in the wheelbarrow.
Yep, yep.
And they're club root resistant.
Okay.
I've been growing those for about 10 years.
So they taste the same as a regular turnip?
I think they taste even better.
Even better, okay.
Like the first year I grew those green turnips.
Yeah.
At the time I was growing mostly purple turnips, like normal turnips.
Yeah, yeah.
And people used to come in here to the farm market and they wouldn't buy those green ones because people said they don't look like they're ripe.
Yeah.
So I used to sell them a few pounds of purple turnip and I'd give away one of those green turnips to each person that come in here. I say, take this and try it. And never failed. Every time they came back afterwards, they'd ask for the green turnips.
Yeah.
And they've caught on here like wildfire. Yeah. Nobody wants any purple turnips anymore. Everybody loves the green turnip.
Well, you've become known as the green turnip man.
I'm the green turnip man, yeah.
There are worse things to be known as.
Yeah.
Accordion player John Marshall from West St. Modeste on the southern Labrador coast with something he plays at local dances that he learned from his brother-in-law. Appropriately, it's called Old Square Dance Tune. Let's head back to the interview with Cal Nicholas in his turnip field just outside St. Anthony.
Are there any crops that you're itching to try like next year? Are you thinking...
Well, actually, I'm retiring from
retiring.
This is my last year.
Really?
Yeah, I've quibbled around about it for a few years now, and I got knee problems, and I'm just done with it. Yeah. I hate to do it because I love what I'm doing.
Yeah. So where do people get their green turnips next year?
I don't think they're going to be able to get their green turnips next year. I'm going to grow a bit for myself, and on a commercial basis, I'm pretty well finished with it.
So when do you start in the spring usually? What's the season for you? You start the work.
Well, I got two greenhouses out in St. Anthony, one in St. Anthony Bight actually, and one in St. Anthony, and I grow about 40,000 to 50,000 plants. I start that in April, as soon as the sun comes in the greenhouses, and I keep that on until about the middle of June, and in the middle of June I bring the plants down here and put them in the ground.
Yeah,
hire on two or three extra people to help me. So that's about when it starts down here, but it starts in the greenhouses in late April.
So that's a long season, April till here we are in middle of October.
Yep.
Still doing some turnips.
Yep.
So
this is the tail end of the turnips today.
Yep.
The last of them. So this is a sad day on Nicholas Farm, last turnips to grow here.
And
last
here.
Turnips to be cut up.
Well, maybe somebody will hear this and they'll make you an offer.
I doubt that very much. Right. I don't think anybody has the energy.
Well, that's the thing. It takes a lot of... There's a lot of people interested in growing food, but they don't realize it's 7 months.
They don't realize the work
that's
put into it, you know? Yeah. It takes me 5-6 months here.
Yeah.
And the first 4 months you're here with zero income. And so, you know, it's hard to withstand that if you're doing it for a living. Eh?
So one of the things people talk about heading up in the Northern Peninsula is the gardens on the side of the highway. You know, that's... And there's some really nice ones up towards St. Anthony there. Are more people doing that, or is that still kind of fading away?
I think that's fading away. Like, as the older people die, I think that's, like, the younger people don't seem to be taking it up. But that's, like, traditional here.
Yeah.
Right on through the whole Northern Peninsula.
Yeah.
When they cleared the highway, cleared the land for highways, the people went in and took a piece of the land. Most of that is potato gardens.
Okay, yeah.
There's the odd person that grows a little bit of cabbage, turnip, carrot, but most people, 90% of it is just potato garden.
Is there any kind of a competition about who's got the best garden?
Well, it's talked about.
So if you're new to the area, you got to be careful if you have a garden that really doesn't look all that great.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Most of the tourists come in here and ask me about the roadside gardens. And
because
they're amazed that people don't get ripped off.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't... I must say I've been here for 10 or 15 years myself, and I haven't had any problems.
Yeah, there might be a scattered moose.
The biggest problem I've had is with moose.
Yeah, and you got a bit of a fence around here, so.
I got an 8-foot fence up, and they've jumped that
quite
often.
Well, this is the season when you wouldn't mind them jumping it if you got your
That's
license.
That's right. Yeah. The moose.
Well, I guess you probably have to go back to work.
Yep, I'm going to clean this up.
Clean that up, and we'll have to buy a couple of these from you just to try the green turnip.
We'll light the fire in the cabin, and
okay, great. So we've been here out on the farm, last day of cutting turnips. Two wheelbarrows full. Thanks, Cal.
Well, the good news is that Cal didn't quite leave farming. This fall, 2021, when I was up there in that area, Cal still had some vegetables on the go, and his signs are still on Route 430. And I must say, I have never tasted a finer turnip than his green turnips.
When he wants to take a rest, he saws up wood.
Grenfell Mission. But they grew enough vegetables to export some to parts of the Labrador and keep a hospital going at the time.
So what do you buy at the grocery store?
Not much. Butter and sugar.
Flour,
and chicken.
90% of it is sold from the farm itself, from the road front.
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. To listen to other episodes of this show or for more information, go to fittoeatnl.ca. The songs for today's show were all from a CD of Newfoundland Labrador accordion music called The Four Stops, produced by Daniel Payne. The tunes we used were Peter Reel's tune from Luke Payne, John Henry Bennett's Violin Jig by Kevin Bennett, and Old Square Dance tune by John Marshall. The theme music, Cluck Old Hen, was performed this week by The Shots. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. I'll be right here. Happy trails.
Everybody loves green turnips.
It only works if you don't enjoy it.